Greetings, everybody. This is the Mike and Abe Show, and today we have Carolyn on the show, and we're going to talk about the two meetings that we had this week. One was at the City Council, and the other was at the TLC, and Carolyn attended both these meetings while I watched it on the Internet. Okay, and Carolyn, fill us in. What did you hear, and what do you think about some of the things that were said this week?
Hi. Okay. I haven't had a chance to watch the video of both meetings because, believe it or not, when you're sitting there, sometimes your attention wanders or people are talking to you, so I have to do that. But I will say that I think there is a change of tone in the City Council in that they're willing to speak up on our behalf and about their duty to protect medallion owners. And they questioned Commissioner Zoshi very thoroughly when she was up there. And also at the TLC meeting, I think they're going to be very strict about this wheelchair accessibility rule. I think they really expect Black and Livery Car World to step up and get some wheelchair cars out there. Councilmember Lander, who was at the TLC meeting, even went as far as to say, if they don't comply, we're shutting them down. That's pretty strong language. I haven't really heard that before. Mm-hmm. And there's several people in the City Council that are standouts. I think Councilmember Chin, who has represented her legitimate van drivers very, very well. She's also standing up for us. Councilmember Rodriguez, who's the chairman of the Transportation Council, has proposed a bill to establish a task force to figure out what to do to raise medallion values. That's new language, too. Raise mm-hmm. values and protect the values. I haven't heard this before. So he is to be commended, absolutely. I think he really does want to do the right thing. Let me think, who else was out there? Oh, Greenfield.
Right.
Councilmember Greenfield, who is, I think he's term limited. He's leaving. He's not going to be in office in January. Who else? Oh, and Danique Miller. You know, he's an old union guy. Not to say that you're old, Danique. I don't mean that. But, you know, he has said from time to time that Uber came to the City Council and promised jobs, you know. And then Uber comes to the City Council and says, you know, we're going to go driverless. There aren't going to be any jobs. And, you know, he said he just doesn't believe anything that they say now. And then
jobs,
he was
he promised the jobs for Uber's providing jobs for robots. I guess that's the jobs he's talking about.
Yeah, and then the other thing he's upset about is the situation with the vans. I mean, he and other members in the City Council spent years crafting bills and, you know, trying to get a system together to legitimize the dollar vans, and they've done that. And Councilmember Chin is involved in that also because there's a lot of Chinese van drivers. And now, once they actually did that, they're letting in Ford Chariot vans into the city who are driving along bus routes, stopping in bus stops and picking up passengers. I think it's $4 a trip. And when Councilmember Miller asked Commissioner Zoshi, but aren't those vans? She said, no, they're black cars. They're vans. I've seen them.
Yeah. Yes.
And she said, well, now anything can be a black car can be anything. That's what she said. So maybe we'll have to pin her down on that, or he will.
Is she making her own definitions, or is there a definition of a black car?
You know, that's the root of all our problems. They have rules that aren't clear, and they have rules that they don't follow. And then it's a lawsuit. So everything winds up in court. As a matter of fact, there's two cases that are going to be in state appeals court tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I think it's at 45 Monroe Place in Brooklyn, and I'm going to try to get over there at 10 o'clock in the morning. I think one is the Melrose State Appeal. There's still mm-hmm. something left over from that. And then another case, I think it's called GLICA versus New York City. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the appeals court. So that's another part of this problem. A lot of things going on at the same time. But I was encouraged by what happened at the City Council and also the TLC. And I can tell you Black Car World and Livery Car World are very worried about this wheelchair accessibility thing because I think they know that they mean it. You know, the TLC mm-hmm. and the City Council, they mean it. They want them to do something. They do have 100 cars. We can't say they have no cars. But, you know, They've got 90,000 cars out there.
Right. Now, let me just jump in real quick, and it is related to exactly this point. The thing with me is, right, with the wheelchair car, now, okay, obviously I'm not exactly thrilled with the fact that yellow cab drivers basically had a gun to their head to get wheelchair cabs on the road. It's like, you got to do wheelchair this, pick up wheelchair, wheelchair,
right.
Wheelchair. Then they had the people with the wheelchairs for all thing at the meeting with their little signs, and I was very upset because I'm saying, listen, I can't tell you how many times I've picked up wheelchair people in the rain, and my reward is being like accused, kind of, in my opinion, of not doing that when I've been doing it all along. Now, the only thing with me is, first of all, they don't know how many jobs are going to come out of the sky to feed everybody who is putting money into wheelchair accessible vehicles. And if the yellow cabs and some of the green cars are starting to get wheelchair accessible work, what that's going to do now is cut the pie into basically another 50,000 pieces if they force delivery industry to get these wheelchair cars on the road. I'm just saying,
yeah.
I think there's a finite number of wheelchair rides in the city, and if we're finally starting to see some checks coming in for the drivers for picking up wheelchair customers from accessorized customers from the fund, that we have that 30 cents per trip thing on the meter, which a lot of people don't know about. So we have the green car drivers and the yellow cab drivers finally starting to see some daylight financially from this plan. And if the FHV and black car people come in out of the sky, you might be getting like one wheelchair ride a week after retooling your half the industry for what should be just maybe a few thousand cars altogether. I'm just wondering. And the other thing with Yoshi, I don't know what her deal is, because I see her up there. She looks like I don't know what her, she's a tough read for me, because I think there's so many things she could have done along terms of win-win scenario. Perfect example, all right? We had this big economic hearing in April, where she says, we're going to find out about what the economic viability is of your yellow cab business. That was originally stated at the meeting. Then when we get to that April 6th meeting, everybody and their brother and sister are there about wheelchairs and cabs and FHV. It was a mishmash. It's like, okay, so now everybody is at this huge meeting on April 6th. Where's the information? Where is the information? Carolyn, you're an information queen. Where's the information from the April 6th meeting? Do you know? Does anybody know?
What do you mean? On what happened afterwards and that?
Yeah.
We would try to address issues that we have about whether we're making money or not. Nothing.
Nothing. Zero. I mean, so we just basically, you had thousands of people going there for nothing.
Right. We got the tipping option for Uber out of that one. That's what we got.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And, by the way, I did go to City Hall on that day for this first meeting, and I went there. And I sat in front of City Hall. I said, okay, let me just park the car. And that was the end of me. The parking was $25 or $30 if I wanted to go in the meeting. And then the parking garage that had a vacancy was 15 blocks away. And then the time I would have lost with the yellow cab driving.
Because you were working that day, I gather.
Right. And now I'm older and wiser what I'm up against. It's basically, every cab driver who shows up for a city council hearing and a TLC meeting, honestly, it's well over $100 the cab driver is going to lose to be the good citizen to attend these things.
You're
so
right.
Now I have
it's
a month's plan
problem.
For my budget. Yeah. So right now I'm budgeting myself to lose $100 a month if I go to a meeting. So now I know.
And that's true for most of the guys who come down there. And yet, if you don't come down there, and I don't mean you specifically, but, you know, us in general, if we don't show our faces, then they think, well, you know, they just went away. It's not a problem. They don't have to deal with us, or they can't use us, or, you know, whatever. However politics works, I'm not sure. But, you know, you have to show some numbers to these guys.
Exactly.
Otherwise, they don't think you're there, and then you don't have any input. But I think they are going to pass this task force, I think, in the next stated meeting. And I can't remember exactly who's supposed to be on it, but it's like 12 people, and there's a couple of medallion owners and somebody from the credit unions and five people from the city council are supposed to be on it, you know, an assortment of people.
Let me jump in here. Number one, the loss of money is an investment. at this point, okay? Because if you have to lose money to get your point across to win later, then you're only investing your time and money to get where you need to be, okay? Number
right.
two. Now, Carolyn, you say that you believe that this task force will be created. What has to happen for this task force to be created? It's right now in committee, right?
Right.
And from committee it has to go to the full city
right.
council, and then it has to go to the mayor, right? The mayor has to
mm-hmm.
sign on it, and I do believe, like the U.S. Congress, if the mayor vetoes it for whatever reason he might have, maybe Governor Cuomo will come down and start yelling at him like he did the last time, right?
Yeah.
We should say that
this bill has been in committee since 2015.
Uh-huh.
So it is interesting that they chose now to pull it out. At least it's something. And they should have done it 2 years ago, of course.
Well, the question. Let me get to constitutional things. Like with the U.S. Congress, if the president vetoes a bill or a law or whatever, then it goes back to Congress, and 2/3 majority could override the president's veto. Is that the same with the city council?
I don't know. That's a good question. I've never heard of that happening. I don't know, Mike. Do you ever remember that?
Well, here's the thing. I just want to jump in again. I'm jumping. Now I can jump on the phone. That's good because my jumping days are over in person. But I think I like the fact that I can still jump on the
phone. Why don't you get a jump rope, Mike?
I got a jump rope parked in front of the house right now. I just want to say real quick with the city council. I think Carolyn, you referred earlier in the show about the new tone.
Yeah.
And that's great because I think. Here's the scenario right now moving forward. I think de Blasio, unless he does whatever, he's probably going to be the next. We're probably going to be stuck with de Blasio for 4 more years. It's kind of looking that way. I hate to say it. So we have to just drink our glass of vinegar with Tabasco sauce and deal with it. Now, the good news, like you said, is we have new people coming onto the city council, and we got to shake the rug a little bit politically. So we have some term people. Getting out of the city council, which I wasn't too thrilled with some of these people. And we got some fresh blood coming into the mix, and the new people are going to be older and wiser with this Uber mess, so they can see that we haven't just been, whining about Uber. There are some factual things going on. I mean, for example, Uber is not, I had an Israeli guy, we were talking about Uber, he goes, no, we don't let Uber into our country. So the Israelis, who are the most one of the most tech-savvy people on the planet, don't want Uber in Israel.
Right.
Uber's been thrown out of Germany. I mean, with a name like Uber, you get thrown out of Germany.
I know.
It's gotta be pretty bad, you know?
Yeah.
Right? and the other thing, London is gave Uber a 30-day probation because their Uber drivers are wacky. I mean, their Uber drivers are always in horrible situations, like attacking passengers and stuff like that. So I think the people read the newspapers, and I'm glad we get some fresh folks on the city council. So some of them are reelected, which I'm not too thrilled about. I don't think we should have rewarded some of the people who got reelected. But we do have some new city council faces and some new fresh blood coming into the mix. And I think it's going to be a little bit better. And I'll tell you, just for my own self-interest, Udinus Rodriguez, his English is 1,000% better. When he first started, I had trouble understanding him.
Yeah.
But now he apparently has worked on the speaking skills. So, and I'm not saying that to be a racist, horrible white person. I'm saying that because it is, in fact, the fact that I see that he has taken time to work on his public speaking. So I mean that with love, transportation leader.
I just want to say that it's not what he says or what language he uses to say it or dialect or his ability to speak English or not, it's what he thinks that counts.
Right.
Okay.
And he understands.
Well,
he does understand.
Both have improved. Yeah.
Yeah.
He understands the business because, as he always says, he's an ex-livery cab driver.
Right.
So
right.
He does have an understanding of what's going on. And he has tried to help us in that he brought forth that bill that increased penalties for illegal hails, $2,000, $4,000, $10,000 on the third offense and revoking your license. Unfortunately, the amount of summonses that they've given out for that new rule have gone down every month, almost, since they implemented it in October. But he tried, and I think Garodnik has another bill. I think it passed that they're going to increase penalties, you know, for guys pretending to be black car drivers who aren't legitimate black car drivers, you know, and that kind of stuff. But you wouldn't really have as much of a problem if there were less cars on the street. It always comes down to that. It's the numbers of cars. That's the problem. Oh, and I have to give a shout-out to Council Member Gridenchik, Barry Gridenchik, who represents the district in Queens. He's not on the Transportation Committee, but he's a great guy. I mean, he really went to bat, you know, when he was questioning Mayor Zoshi, you know, and he was talking about some problems in the mortgage market many years ago where some people were going to get thrown out of their housing development. And Claire Shulman, who was, I think, borough president of Queens at the time, had absolutely no power or duty to do anything to help these people. But she did. And that was his point to Commissioner Zoshi. Even if you don't have the power specifically to limit numbers of black cars or whatever, you have a voice. You need to speak up. You need to give the city council guidance on what they need to do. And she, you know, really hasn't been doing that, but, you know, hopefully she will in the future. And by the way, I just want to say one thing, and I've said this before to her. She does have the power, because any licensee that's a danger to public safety can be shut down. It can be shut down by the city council. It can be shut down by the TLC. Maybe even DOT, I'm not sure. But, you know, it just depends. But you do have the power. You know, if you have 90,000 black cars on the street spewing out particulate matter and noxious gases, and people are getting lung cancer and people are getting asthma, you know, you have a right to think about that and do something about it, legislate responsibly. You know, if the crash numbers have doubled in the last few years, can you imagine what that does to traffic?
So go there with the what are the numbers on the crash numbers that you sent me something about crash numbers?
Yeah, I looked at there's a list on the TLC website, and I think there was about 500 crashes a month by black cars in I think it was May of 2014, and recently it was about 2,800 crashes a month. Now, yeah, they're doing more trips, but is that a good thing? No.
Yeah.
People should be on the bus. People should be on the subway, which is what Lucius Riccio, the former DOT commissioner, says. That should be your primary focus. Very good public transportation. And then you have a handful of cabs for people who are in a rush or very wealthy, can afford them. I don't really think you want to democratize taxis and black cars. That's really not what they're meant for, and the streets won't support them. They just won't support them.
There's X amount of customers, and there's X amount of streets available. And I did the math once on how many would you say Uber-related cars are on the street right now, right at this moment.
Probably 90,000, because they dispatch to everybody. They don't just dispatch to Uber. Everybody dispatches to everybody now.
So they have dual platform, but specific Uber cars. How many cars have been put on the street since Yoshi got in the last, 4 years? How many?
She said herself they had 35,000 licensees before Uber and company, and now they have, I think, 115,000. And she's promised there's going to be 35,000 more in the coming year.
We're talking about vehicles or cars?
We're talking about for-hire vehicles.
For-hire vehicles?
So yeah, 35,000 more this year.
What is with her? Is she insane?
That should stop them right there. Before we talk about anything else, just think about that and do something.
I mean, you got to be kidding. I mean, I've done the math on each one of these cars. Let's say square feet. Let's say it's 12 by 7. Okay, let's say it's 100 square feet per car times 60,000 cars in 4 years. With the pollution that goes with it, and they all come into Midtown. So you've managed to squash. Let me just do my mental math. So it'll be six million square feet of Uber car being squashed into Manhattan at the rush hour every day. So it's like, why is the traffic so horrible? Because the TLC, in their wisdom, has squashed 6 million square feet of Uber car into Midtown. And a lot of these Uber cars also pile up on the highways because they go out to the airports empty, they go out to Kennedy Airport empty, they come in from Kennedy Airport empty. So you have this, like, locust swarm of Uber cars just blocking streets all over the city. And they drive real slow on purpose, I found out, because they're waiting for the ping from someone right. standing next to their car, you know? So thank you, Chairperson Yoshi. Oh, by the way, what are the odds you think that Chairperson Yoshi is going to be the queen bee over at Uber when she leaves? Does she have a moratorium of 5 years where she can't get a job with another company, or she's probably going to go straight to one of these companies, I would think.
No, somebody should propose that for all of the people at the TLC, that they're not allowed to work for app companies for 5 years.
Thank you. Yeah. For 50 years.
Yeah. Yeah. But getting back to what you were saying about all the cars, it's not an efficient right. use of a car. If there's 800,000 right. or a million trips a day, and there's 100,000 cars out there, you know, maybe that's 8 or 10 trips a day per car. That doesn't make any sense. A yellow cab used to do 60 trips a day if it was double right. shifted. That's an efficient use of a vehicle. I mean, to have all these cars for so few trips, it doesn't make sense.
And I've also done the sales tax for the state of New York on the 60,000 cars. Let's say each car costs $30,000. Let's say $2 billion, all right? Let's say their friends in the car dealers sold $2 billion worth of cars for Uber and Lyft and Schmift or whoever else. So the state gets, ballpark, let's say they get 10% of the $200 million. Right.
Nothing.
So the state's like, yeah, we got $200 million. And I'm saying, look, if you got $200 million, you could have sold 150 yellow cab medallions and gotten $2
billion.
I'm sorry. You could have got, strike that. You could have got 150 yellow cab medallions and gotten your same $200 million. And everybody wouldn't be losing their minds out in the streets. So I'm just wondering, at what point does common sense prevail? This is just, and I'm looking at this every day. And what about ambulances and cops that got to get to emergencies and the people with the carbon monoxide emissions? I saw one guy getting up there saying, we have to save the environment. Save the environment!
Yeah.
I mean, not only are these cars polluting every single day, what happens to these cars? They all get wrecked or abandoned. Where does that go? When you plant the tree, do you, like, sprinkle the remains of, like, dead Uber cars around the tree to help it grow? No, they're just garbage. So this is something I hope the new regime over at the city council takes a look at, because the last regime apparently was hornswaggled. And now is the city council speaker out, or is she in? Is there a new,
she's
gonna
out.
Be a new city?
She is out.
Yay! Yeah, okay.
And we don't know who the next one will be.
Yeah. I want Carolyn to be the city council speaker.
Hold on. Is she out now? She's out?
No, she's in until January 1st.
Oh, then she's out.
And she's gone.
In other words, her term is up. And I've read that Rodriguez wants to be the speaker. What do you know about
that? Yeah, I've heard that.
Which would be great.
Okay.
That would give us, you know, 2 feet in the front door.
Donovan Richards might also want the job. I think, he's on the Transportation Committee, and I think he was asking some good questions. So I'll give a shout-out to him. So we'll have to see, you know. But as far as the city, it's such a painless way for them to raise revenue to sell medallions. I mean, think about it. Anytime they need extra tax revenue, and you know they're going to be needing it the way they're spending money. They have 300,000 employees now and all kinds of new programs. They have to raise property taxes. They have to. And that hurts everybody, even renters, because a large part of your rent is property taxes. But to sell medallions, it hurts no one. It bothers no one. Nobody complains about it. Nobody's going to get angry at you for it. You don't even know what's happening, and then, boom, you've got $2 billion. I figured out they lost $100 million last year just in fees.
Let me jump
with all
in.
The yellow cabs that have left the road.
Right. Let me jump in here. One of the things that they must do in order to sell medallions is get the lenders back lending, and the lenders aren't going to get back lending without assurances that they're lending is safe.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. Especially after what's been happening. Okay, So how do the lenders get the feel? You know, get the guarantees, these guarantees, that the money is safe.
The city would have
I guess they get the their guarantee that their money is safe by not watching the city council meetings.
Do you realize that there isn't actually a housing mortgage market anymore to speak of? 90% of mortgages are guaranteed by Fannie, Freddie, or FHA. Without those guarantees, your property is not worth anything. No property is worth anything without financing. I don't care what it is. You know, and
That's
if all the American corporations were told tomorrow you've got to pay off on your bonds and give everybody their money back, they couldn't do that either. The whole system would collapse.
Okay, but let's get back to the lenders.
They have to guarantee or give some assurances that we are protected as per Rule 52-04A4. That's the rule that says they're supposed to maintain the economic stability of licensees within TLC's realm. And that includes
now, all together, class, Carolyn, one more time. What was that rule in the TLC?
Yes, for those of you who want to go into the rule book, it's 52-04A4. That's the rule.
And this rule is the rules for how the TLC should operate. Is that correct?
Yes, it's supposed to protect economic values of the licensees. Stability.
Okay. Let me just throw this in here, okay? There's a gentleman who goes by the name of Davy Crockett. Okay,
uh-huh.
I don't know who he is. I think he's a taxi driver. Okay,
uh-huh.
Maybe he's Davy Crockett,
king of the
wild
frontier.
I don't know, but he often retweets the tweets that I put up. I make it a habit now that every time I put news stories on NYC Taxi News, I tweet them.
Oh, how do you get to Davy Crockett? How do you get that on your computer?
He's not a member on the website. He's a tweeter.
Right. So how do you get to him on Twitter? You just type in Twitter.
I don't know how.
Come on, you got to explain all this stuff.
Mike is the Twitter expert.
Okay, Mike, explain it to me. How do I get to that?
But I want to finish my thought.
To me. You search in the upper right hand corner and say, okay. I want to search for Davy Crockett, and you'll probably get like the real Davy Crockett talking about his Wild West days. So you just
well, let me spell how he spells his name. DAVEYCROCKETTZ.
Okay.
All right. But Davy Crockett, you know, with his hat, the old Davy Crockett with his beaver hat, what they used to wear with the tail.
Right.
I remember Fess Parker. It was a show when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Anyway, he posted this YouTube video. And what it is the city council's interviewing Mira Joshi, just that part of the city council meeting, with the headline, and he made up this headline. It says, NYC Council disgusted with do-nothing TLC Commissioner Mira Joshi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And, you know, and I thought that was a fair description of how the council went against... Or pretty much told her, you know, you're not doing your job. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. Do you agree with that?
Oh yeah, yeah. Because of the TLC's actions and inactions, we are where we are now. But
yeah.
They could change that.
Mm-hmm.
They have the power to change all that. You know, I once asked them, "Do you want to be the TLC that you know oversees the?" Complete total demise and destruction of the yellow cab industry. They didn't answer.
Well, I guess that was their answer. It's like, yes. We do.
Well, maybe, you know, that's that. The wait and see is maybe their answer. You know,
our press coverage is horrendous. It was only covered in terms of, you know, nasty yellow cab owners want bailout.
Right.
Well,
right. Speaking of stuff in general, I just got to jump in and ask. Carolyn, what is since you're our senior reporter in the street in terms of knowing everything, what is the deal with the auction? What happened with that crazy 46-piece medallion auction?
The first one, nothing happened because the bank wasn't satisfied with the bids. Mm-hmm. So that was just basically canceled, even though there were people down there. The second one, they sold all the medallions to one player, a hedge fund, and there were bids over $200,000, but they didn't accept them because they wanted to sell the whole package together. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think it was like, what, $187 per medallion
plus
a fee, which brings it almost, you know, to $200,000.
It brought it to $190-something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And what
it's interesting to me, just as a layperson sitting in the stands, that the hearing about medallion values commenced after this auction. So it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it's like, well, somebody bought the medallions, and all of a sudden there's a hearing about medallion values. So that's one way of looking at it.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it kind of like validated, in a way, all the stuff we were doing handstands about. And now anybody suing the TLC for medallion values can say, well, there you go. We had an auction. You said we were just you said we were just our imagination. And the one thing Abe and I touched on, we were saying, look, the city of New York guarantees bonds. The city of New York, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, should have guaranteed at least the minimum upset bid price of medallions that were sold directly from the city of New York to cab drivers and to taxi owners. Because then it's like if something goes south, the city of New York would be the fallback and say, well, listen, we're doing this, we're doing that. So if you want to get your money back, you know, we had to change some things. So if you're worried and want at least your upset bid money back, we can do that. Like, I don't know what the last price of the last medallion auction was, but I think they had minimum upset bids of at least $480, right? Wasn't it $480?
You know what? I was just talking about that with somebody the other day. The last auction, he was telling me it was $850. And the one before that, I think it was about $650 or $675. He said it was $850. And there are a bunch of people who bought at that time who were suing to get their money back, which is called rescission, because they said, you know, that it was under false pretenses.
Right.
That they were lied to, the city misrepresented themselves, you know, all that kind of stuff. So they're trying to get their money back.
Right. Now, I'd have to, obviously I should have done this first, but you know me, but I'm just saying, was there a posted minimum upset bid price from the city of New York for that price, or is that what the winning price was? Or was there a minimum?
No, there was an upset bid price of $850.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought it was less, but somebody was looked it up for me the other day.
I seem to remember that figure.
Yeah.
That I believe that's correct.
And you know what's funny about that? Yeah. That was for wheelchair accessible medallions, which is funny, which nobody wants to drive.
Right.
That's the really funny part about it.
Right. So, I mean, I would just think, in the spirit of fair play, since the city of New York next year would have an $82 billion budget, that they could go to the guy on suicide watch at JFK waiting for his weekly wheelchair ride for $20.
Yeah, which is packages. Say, people with packages, basically.
Right, the wheelchair packages. Yeah. And say, listen, we decided to put 80,000 Uber cars on the street, and we ruined your business. So we didn't know we were going to do that 4 years ago, but since we're doing it now, we're going to give you a certified check for $850,000 that you, took a loan out for, and we're going to take the medallion back. I would think that would just be the basic thing the city could do. I mean, I don't know about private sales, because obviously it's one person to another, and it's an older medallion. But at least, I would like the city council to look into the fact that the city of New York basically told people that the value of a taxi medallion, in their estimated opinion, with floors of lawyers and city employees working on the finances, they saw the number that said the minimum upset bid, minimum value of a medallion directly sold from the city of New York would be at the very least, $850,000. And if something has been changed to ruin that, then the city of New York should step in and help these people and the people they borrowed money from and just say, listen, you didn't get your big windfall after you bought the medallion, so at the very least we're going to take this medallion back until we figure it out. And let the city hold on to the medallion for when they are ready to reissue it. Because right now, you have people on the hook for $900,000. You get like first-generation Americans who trusted the city of New York. Everybody's going crazy with immigration. Here's some person who comes to America, buys a taxi medallion straight from the city of New York, who you're supposed to trust, not some guy in the coffee shop, but straight from the city of New York, and now all of a sudden you get a medallion auction that says that $800,000 is now worth maybe $200,000 or $300,000. The city of New York should refund that price to that cab driver. And if somebody asks, why are we doing this, let them answer why they're doing it. Let them say, okay, we baited and switched the medallion sale, and sold it right at the end before we were doing this, because none of this happened before the medallion sale, all right? All this crap that we're dealing with happened, surprise, surprise, after all the medallions were sold. And from what I understand, the city of New York was still in a situation where they could have sold more medallions. They were supposed to have another auction of, I think, 1,000 more medallions that they could have sold for $1 million apiece, and that didn't happen. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on here. And I hope now that we got some new people in the city council, they'll take a look at this. But at the very least, the city should buy back, refund the money from the purchasers who were hornswaggled by the city, in my opinion, to buy these high-priced medallions. Abe, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that they should be responsible for what they asked for, okay? Because
right.
they were selling a promise, okay?
Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. If your own government doesn't beat you for your money, okay?
Right.
You know, they took the money. You know, they should give it back.
Right, it's worse than Madoff when your own government is doing it.
It's not like, I sold you a medallion. Well, that's your hard luck, I mean, I was mm-hmm. offered $1 million for my medallion, and I didn't take it. And boy, is that guy happy, all right?
Yeah.
You saved his life. He should help you out now.
But had I taken $1 million, I'd be smiling and saying, boy, I got away with that.
Come
on.
Well, this is the other thing from a private owner standpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, even though you didn't buy this medallion from the city, as a private owner, you're looking at the city and saying, wow, this is great, because even though on the street it's worth $1 million, at least the city of New York has done their due diligence and had their economic people, who are professors and academics and bankers, and the city of New York has just basically said, this medallion is at least worth $850,000. So that's why the people out there didn't sell, because they're saying, hey, the city just said, all right, I get $1 million, but the city said it's $850,000. I'll hang in there. I'll keep my medallion. And apparently that was a big lie.
Right. Okay.
Let me add
something about that auction. There were some bidders who had bids in, and they backed out of the auction because they must have had a feeling something bad was about to happen. And the city got very nervous about that. And they commissioned a study by the Office of Management and Budget, which was very extensive and was very hard to get a hold of. Dan Ackman was involved in this, in getting the unredacted study. Yeah, because I read some of the testimony in one of his lawsuits. I read depositions that he took from the TLC. So they knew that something was going on. And finally, I saw they got the unredacted version of the study. And according to Dan Ackman, the city knew that having all these black cars on the street were going to affect us adversely. I mean, there's no other explanation, for what happened. But the city lawyers are taking the tack that the medallion owners who bought medallions deceived the city. Because I swear to God, this is in the court transcript, they said that they understood that there was no guarantee that the price would be maintained or the rules would stay the same or, whatever. That they knew that, but and knowing that, they signed it that they knew that, and yet they went into it. So, in effect, the medallion buyers lied to the city and misrepresented themselves. I mean, I realize it's very convoluted.
Is that in the contract?
Oh, yeah, I looked at a bill of sale. It says right on there somewhere that there's, no guarantee about anything. But what are you supposed to do? I mean, it's your job. You need to buy a medallion to do your job. They force you mm-hmm. to buy it. So you would sign anything. You have to. You're coerced to sign it. You have to sign it.
Well, I mean, that flies in the face of real quick, was that a TLC rule again? You're the
5204A.
Right. So on the one hand, 5204A4 is saying that the TLC will guarantee the economic viability of the industry.
Yep.
And then totally contrary to that, the medallion sale, which is basically the foundation of a guy driving a cab, says nothing is guaranteed. So on the one hand, you have the TLC telling their drivers, don't worry, we're going to make sure the economic viability of the industry is maintained. Then you have the city of New York selling medallions, which saying, you're on your own. So right there is a conflict, and I'm wondering how much of that is in these lawsuits flying around, because it just seems to me, especially if you can say these are first-generation immigrants who don't know the law that well,
right?
And and even their lawyers probably looked at that and said, okay, well, the TLC is saying, 52-whatever is going to make sure, but so now it's a mishmash, and I think just common sense should prevail. And Chairperson Yoshi, about her, TLC really can't do that. But TLC can do everything. TLC
yeah.
can crack down on new drivers.
Mm-hmm.
TLC can crack down on registrations. TLC can mm-hmm. crack down on traffic. TLC can crack down on carbon monoxide emissions and say, listen, we are killing people with too many cars.
They are.
Yeah,
they are.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, let's put it this way. But the cars are more fuel efficient. Okay, if you're getting 30-mile-a-gallon cars, but then at the same time you've added 60,000 cars, that means net, it's the same as putting 20,000 10-mile-a-gallon cars on the road, which they didn't want us to put 1,000 more cars on the road because they said, right. you're going to pollute the city. And now they've pumped in millions of tons of pollutants into the air. And you can feel it when you walk down the
Absolutely.
Street.
Absolutely.
Like, there's no oxygen. There's no air.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. So what else we got here?
Well, I have in front of me 5204A4. Okay,
good.
I'm
okay,
my computer.
Good.
Okay,
I'm gonna get a tattoo of that.
And here it is, 5204 specific
yes.
powers, specific powers and duties of the commission. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A, powers and duties with respect to regulating. One,
right.
formulate and adapt rules reasonably designed to carry out the purposes of the commission. Whatever that they determine what their purpose is, we don't know. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Two, set and enforce standards and conditions of service. Three, establish and enforce standards of safety, comfort, convenience, operational efficiency, and compliance with good public policy in the design of vehicles and auxiliary equipment. Four, and here's this is the part that Carolyn is referring to. Four, establish and enforce standards to ensure all licensees are and remain financially stable.
In my dreams.
Yeah. I think it's a Jewish expression, halavai.
Yeah.
Well, it's there.
Halavai, yes.
Nothing to do with halava.
Now, let me see. Who writes these rules? It's Chapter 52, Rules Governing the Taxi and Limousine Commission. Is this written by the City of New York, by the City Council? Or is this rules that the TLC writes for themselves?
I think the TLC writes it.
For themselves.
Well, that's the other thing with these rules on the books. A lot of these people who wrote these TLC rules are out of the city and living in Florida somewhere, or in Texas, or they're gone. So we're stuck with these
rules.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying like the people
know.
Who are elected and unelected officials put all these rules on the books, and they said goodbye, and they're not even like in the city anymore at all. So it would be nice if the TLC and their new regime on the city council could take a look at these ancient codes and rules and make sure the drivers make money, because right now you have at least I was out there for a couple of weeks making a couple of bucks with the yellow cab, but you have Uber drivers who have bought cars and bought insurance. They're making $50 a day, so it's not even benefiting anybody in their industry. They're making literally $50 a day below minimum wage, and the city of New York has basically created an industry, a sweatshop slave trade industry, where the people working within that industry are making less than the new minimum wage. Carolyn, what's the new minimum wage? You're the genius here. It's almost $12 an hour.
Uh-oh. I don't know exactly. 12-something?
It's coming up to around $11 or $12 an hour.
Yeah.
And not one lease driver or lease Uber driver is guaranteed to make $12 an hour. Because if you work 12 hours, then it's supposed to be time and a half.
I'm wondering. I just want to, after reading these rules, I'm wondering that when somebody's appointed to the commission, okay, and only the chairman is being paid, I believe
right.
the rest of them are not volunteers, but just appointed at no salary, okay. I wonder if a prerequisite to their appointment is a test on these rules, okay, that they have read the rules.
That's a great idea. Like, you have
okay.
to take a test to be a driver. You have to know certain rules of the road.
Sold life insurance, okay, way back in the 1970s. I was working for a corrupt company out of Chicago, and when I figured that out, I quit, all right? Okay, but I did have to obtain a New York State license to sell life insurance, and before I got that license, was granted that license, I should say, I had to read and read and read and take an exam that reminded me of the Regents exams in high school. Okay. You know, we're pretty much, they covered every aspect of what I needed to know to sell insurance. And I don't understand, how could somebody be appointed to this taxi commission and not have to, you know, pass a test that they at least know all the rules?
You're absolutely right. And maybe they should pay them a stipend. I have no problem with that. You know, they have to waste a day to go down there. Pay them something, and then, but make them read the rules. Yeah. That's
yeah,
the first
yeah,
thing
they should do. Not only right. read the rules, they should have to pass a test showing mm-hmm. that they know the rules.
Yeah.
Because they seem to be doing things not knowing the rules.
And I'll take it another thing. I think everybody at the taxi commission, A to Z, top to bottom, should take a drug test. Why are the cab drivers taking drug tests and the people in the city of New York on the payroll aren't taking drug tests? I mean, yeah, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And mm-hmm. I've dutifully taken my drug test every year, and I think it's a sign of good faith, all right? Everybody at the taxi commission should go down Monday morning and take a drug test, just as a sign of good faith. No requirement.
First question on the drug test, what drugs are you taking?
Because what do they test you for? They don't test you for everything, do they? They just test you for marijuana?
They test you
marijuana?
For a lot of things. No, they test you for marijuana, which they shouldn't even bother with that because, well, you know, suppose you go to Colorado 1 week and where
right.
it's legal and you smoke your face off, and then you come back and it takes 2 months to get out of your system. Okay.
Right. I always wonder about that. Like in Massachusetts, apparently, January 1st, Massachusetts is legal. So if you go to Washington, and by the way, the first year was legal in these states. Both of those states were in the Super Bowl. It was Colorado and Washington were both, Seattle and Colorado were in the Super Bowl the first year. So divine intervention put the two legalized marijuana states in the Super Bowl on that year. But you have, Colorado, Washington, Massachusetts, and a bunch of states where reefer is just legal. It's ridiculous. Of all the states in the union where marijuana is illegal for the New York state.
New York, yeah.
You talk about, what are we going to do with upstate New York? I don't know. Why don't you grow like 50 million? Instead of having 50,000 Uber cars, why don't you grow 50,000 acres of weed and people will get some real jobs for a change?
And you know what? Maybe people would go off opioids and instead smoke pot, which would be much better for them.
Yeah. I mean, who wants to, opioids are just ridiculous. I mean, they talk about, marijuana is a gateway drug. So no, marijuana is a fallback, so you don't have to do opioids to get high.
That's
the opioids are probably, the opioids are easier to use, unfortunately, than smoking a joint. So I think we're on the wrong track with cracking down on marijuana and letting prescription opioids flood the market. That's another show, right?
Yeah. So listen, let me sum things up today. We had a pretty good show here so far. Okay.
Yeah, it's a great show.
We're into the 50-minute mark. Okay. So Carolyn, if you had your crystal ball in front of you and have to attending both these meetings, the TLC meeting and the City Council meeting, where do you see all of this going?
I feel cautiously optimistic, but medallion owners who are out there listening to the show and all your friends maybe who aren't listening to the show, they need to call up the City Council people. They need to call the mayor's office. They need to call the TLC. You need to, at least the City Council people, to let them know that you're there, that you're alive, that you're concerned about these things. You have to do that. And that doesn't really cost. And, you know, not only that, make a contribution to one of these guys who's helping us. It doesn't matter. It could be $5 because they get like five or six times, you know, the amount in public funding.
And they're the elected officials.
The council people who are running, you know, all these people who are good. They're excellent city council people in other areas, too, not just for yellow cabs. And put down taxi owner in the occupation column. You can do all this online. You could do it on your cell phone. It takes 2 seconds. And it could be $5. It doesn't matter. Everybody has $5 to throw to a few council people. If you have more, give more. But at least let them be let it be known that you're there. You have to do that. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to help you.
Otherwise, we have the mess that we're in now because apparently Uber shovels money at wishy-washy politicians, which quickly gets them on their side. So if we've learned nothing else, we've learned that. So we have some good people defending us. They're going to help the good people who are defending us, for God's sake.
Absolutely. And, you know, they like saying they have small contributions. That's a badge of honor to say all my contributions are $5 and $10. They like that.
Yeah.
So you should do it. Don't be lazy. Everybody has a smartphone or a computer, or if you have to, write a check and mail it. But, I mean, this is not a difficult thing to do.
Right.
I guess can we endorse candidates on your show? Maybe we can't do that. I don't know.
You can do that.
I think people have an idea who the people are.
Well, endorse them. Go right ahead. We want you to endorse the ones that are going to help us get out of this.
I'm afraid I'm going to leave somebody out. But, you know, Councilmember Chin, who is excellent, Margaret Chin, and Councilmember Grudenchik, Steve Levin, Greenfield, well, we can't. Brad Lander. Right. I don't know if he's going to be around next year or not. I'm not sure, Brad Lander, but he's another good one. Danique Miller, absolutely. Guys, help me out. Is there somebody I'm leaving out? I'll have a better list next week. We'll go over the whole list.
Adonis Rodriguez,
absolutely. Adonis Rodriguez. Sorry, Adonis.
Okay,
absolutely.
That's a good core of people that we didn't have listening to us historically in the past. I mean, we need a core of people. At the risk of saying friendlies, we don't even need friendlies. We just need people who listen. Because right now, it finally took this medallion auction with the bargain basement price on 46 medallions, which probably is about half price because they bought them all at one shot. You know, I mean, if it was individual, I could at least say, okay, they got them for half price. Like anything else, you buy in bulk, you get a good deal. And I think they got a great deal. You bought 46 medallions for less than $200,000 a piece. That's like the deal of a lifetime right there.
Yeah.
And the person who bought them is one of the smartest guys in the business. He's a great guy. I've known him for years. I don't want to say who he is, but he knows what he's doing. And I'm glad, in a way, it was him, because if he says the medallions are still worth something, that's huge news. So maybe we'll get him on the show later on. But he's we go back. So at the risk of outing him, I just want to say congratulations for making a great deal. My goodness.
Right, that could be the bottom, you know.
Okay,
right.
Carolyn, as far as this task force goes, do you foresee any timeline in how long it will be, you know, to get these people together and, you know.
Well, the industry guys who are up there at the city council with Taxi Dave, had said, let's go to conference room now, today, this morning. Let's get started, because we have no time. You know, we can't fool around with this, you know. And, well, there was one thing that Zoshi said that made me a little nervous, something about how we're getting better data and we're going to study and see where the black cars are exactly. Because Councilmember Chin was complaining about...
Tell her to look out her window. Out her window, all right?
Right. And so, you know, one of the industry guys had said, look, we don't need any more studies, and I say that all the time. We don't need any more studies. It's pretty obvious what happened, why it happened. We need to make a plan for what we're going to do now. That's what we need to do. We don't need any more studies.
So
my question to Chairperson Yoshi, say, just for starters, Chairperson Yoshi, what day is today?
That meeting, the city council
meeting. What planet do we live on?
Hold on. The city council meeting was last Monday. Today is Sunday, so that was six days ago. Have any of these meetings taken place? Do you have any knowledge of that?
No, I don't. Well, you know what? There could be meetings that I don't know about, but I don't know of any. But they have to pass it first. And then the other thing she said was she didn't agree with the composition of the membership of the task force. This is like, remember in Vietnam, Abe, they had meetings going on for years about the shape of the table at the Paris peace talks. Remember that? Because they didn't really want to talk. But they just kept debating on the shape of the table.
Our soldiers were getting killed, they were arguing over the shape of the table.
Oh. Right. Yeah. So, Mike, she was saying she wants to have drivers on the task force, too, which I think is fine. So
I agree with that. She should have drivers. She should have owners. You know, she should have every bit of who's out there on that task force. Okay, and somebody from
PLC will be on the task force, and banking people, credit union people.
So somebody who gave testimony at the city council meeting recommended Robert Familak from
Yes, it was Taxi Dave, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't Taxi Dave.
No, one of them.
Somebody that was sitting with him, perhaps.
Oh, right? Goldstein. Gold's the guy who was on his right.
Yeah.
On Taxi
and
Dave's
I'd
right.
like to. I'd like to second that motion.
Yeah.
Okay, because I know
he tried
to work with
the borrowers.
Yeah, I know Robert, and he's a very, very great guy to, he would be perfect for the job, okay? All right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. I know him personally. I've known him for over 30 years, okay? All right,
cool.
And, you know, I've sat one-on-one with Robert once or twice, just him giving me advice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
You know, so, yes.
Well, that's what
yes,
you want.
Said,
you want people... Yeah. Who know the industry on this task force? You know,
The makeup of the business, the makeup of this board. I think we have to get more brick and mortar people on there. We have to get people, cab drivers who are driving cabs, medallion owners who own medallions, and I would say you could even have a representative. You could have fleet medallion owners, and you could have just people who own a medallion and rent it out and have a medallion. So I'd like to see a little more. If you had to expand the board a little bit, you don't want like a complete insane asylum with this thing.
Right.
But you should have it broken down into each segment of the industry should be there. I mean, you should have a fleet driver, you should have a medallion owner, you should have a fleet medallion owner. And just to have, let's say, from what I see right now, 2 or 3 people out of 12 from the brick and mortar parts of the industry, is a little bit of an outrage. So I hope they'll work on that. You know?
Well, there should also be even people that don't own medallions, but are long-term drivers, people that have been driving for over 20 years, okay?
Right.
And there are quite a few of them. I think Mike falls into that category.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Sure, I fall into a lot of categories, yes.
Yes, I fall into the category, but I left New York State thinking that my future was already laid out for me, and you know, I don't have the means to come back.
Hologram.
So I'll be,
we could have you participate as a hologram.
I like
a
it.
A hologram.
I like it. Like
I could participate via Skype or something
yeah.
like
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
All right. So,
right.
So I put myself out there as willing to be part of this. Okay?
You know, there's been a rule on the books.
Yeah.
I think it's even in the city charter. In the administrative code that said we were supposed to have an advisory board, just like what you're talking about, Abe.
Yeah, that's
this
right.
This goes back,
that's
you know
right.
that, 10, 15 years ago. But the industry didn't want it because they probably didn't want to share power. Boy, would they like to have that now.
No, the late, great Alan Decker, okay, who I wrote for his newspaper, Mini Press, for 16 years, okay, used to complain that Rudy Giuliani and his commissioner, Diane McKechnie, disbanded the advisory board. They said, we don't want to work for you people.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to run it without you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, there was an advisory board that included industry people. Okay? So
right.
I don't know if it's still on the books that there should be industry
it
people.
It is. It's still on the books.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still there.
So if it's on the books, what the hell is the advisory board?
The industry people didn't want it. I heard some of their testimony in the city council about that. I don't think they wanted to share power, or I don't know exactly what their reasons
were.
Well,
Giuliani wanted to pass all of these rules, such as drug testing and a lot of other things that created a lot of discomfort in the industry. And he basically didn't want to hear from anybody in the industry because he wanted it his way or the highway. Okay?
Right.
And mm-hmm. and he got his way, okay? You know, and funny, but his way didn't hurt anybody in the long run, okay? It may have actually helped, all right? And when mm-hmm. and when they wanted to put credit card equipment in the cab, boy, were we all against it, and boy, were we all wrong?
Yeah,
because
right.
you know, because those credit card machines brought in a lot of money. Okay.
They should, and they validated the business. They proved that we have a viable entity. But see, this is the other thing moving forward is, for 2 weeks it was very busy. Like the last 2 weeks, and this is me saying it, my personal opinion. You get some guys saying, oh my God, it's very slow, it's very slow. It's like, listen, I'm driving a cab now. It's very busy. So we have to tell people when it's busy. We have to tell people when it's slow. And we have to tell people, okay, now that it's busy, the one thing I'm asking, when it's busy, why didn't we get a fare increase when we could have, why didn't anybody apply for a fare increase back in April when they had this big economic thing? I sent in my little inky-dink fare proposal, but apparently none of the big shots did an official request for a fare increase, and I'm just wondering why they didn't want a fare increase. It's just common sense that things go up, and that would have bumped up the price of the medallion as well.
Yeah, it would have bumped up the Uber fares, too, because they probably just would have glommed on to our upping the fares. I don't think there was a lot of pressure for a fare increase because people are afraid of the competition. Because it's very hard to out Walmart, you know. There are even people who, medallion owners, drivers, who are suggesting lowering the fares, which I think is insane.
No,
because
please
you can't
no.
out Walmart. You just can't.
Let me just say something. The yellow cabs that are out there, which is still pretty much most of the fleet, you know, less a few wheelchair vehicles that they don't want to drive, right?
That's 12,000 out of 13,000.
So 12,000, yeah, but still that's plenty.
Yeah.
Okay? And those cars that are out there are all making money.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know, so which says one thing, look, these people know that Uber cars are cheaper at most of the time, not when they're on surge. Okay? So what they're saying is, we want yellow cabs. And everybody I talk to tells me, when I can't find a yellow cab, I go to Uber, they say.
Yeah,
okay?
Like plan B. So at least Uber is plan B.
Yeah, so just taking that into consideration, I can tell you that it wouldn't hurt to give a 10% increase to the yellow cabs, a 15%.
There you go.
Okay?
We shouldn't be afraid, not only that,
it would put more yellow cabs on the street.
Right.
Okay.
Now, you know, last thing with this fare increase, and Carolyn, you might appreciate this, but at what point did Uber apply to the Department of Weights and Measures to calibrate the mileage on their Uber cars or on their GPS?
On their virtual meters, right? Yeah.
Because it seems to me that if you want to get something going, it sounds like there should be a class action suit because they're charging people that haven't been officially calibrated for running basically metered service.
Absolutely. That's one of my main points in my two pages of rules that were broken, bent, ignored, or changed by the TLC.
Right.
That's one of them. They're not supposed to have a meter, and it is a virtual meter. And ours is checked and, you know, insured and everything, you know, by the, I think it's New York State Department of Agriculture. You know, theirs, nobody knows. They don't understand how any of this stuff even works at the TLC.
Well, I think as a sign of good faith, in my opinion, that because their rates for mileage weren't calibrated by an official state or government agency, and if that's the case, I think Uber should do the right thing and refund all the money to their passengers.
Yes.
That's what I think.
Okay, let me wrap this show up. We're running way over time.
I like it.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I just got to tell you, medallions per day on the road in July of 2017, 11,583.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like 2,000 missing in action.
Okay.
MIA.
Yeah.
Okay, and we will get them back out there. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're ready to go.
Yeah, and let me wrap this thing up. I just want to say a couple of things. I want to say that anybody listening to this show, if you want to watch these meetings that we were talking about, or this pretty much this whole show, they're on NYC Taxi News to listen to. Just go to the video page, and you'll see city council meetings, and they're all dated. You want to watch the one from the 25th of September. And the TLC meeting is on the, you'll see on the, it's all on the video guide when you click on the video link, which is on the front page. And the TLC meetings are separated by years, okay? 2014, 15, 16, and 17. Click on 2017 and go to the meeting that was on last Thursday, which was the 28th, okay, of September, okay? And I want to give a shout-out. I want to give a shout-out to our supporters, the MTBOT, Checker Taxi, a WB taxi, a taxi CPA, and Peter Joseph Esquire, lawyer if you need some help with the creditors. Okay? And they're all on the front page of NYC Taxi News. And we have some space for sale if you want to get your ad on our website. Last couple of months, we had over 12,000 visits to our front page. Okay? And I believe even more in September. I don't have the final figures yet. Okay? So, NYC taxi drivers and owners visit this page that many times. I wrote this. Okay? Your message will bring results. Okay?
Right.
Okay, so get in
touch. And you
know
what I'm going to do just as a special treat? I'm going to play some background outro music. So just keep saying goodbye, and I'll do like the background outro music, okay? You can't probably hear that. Can you hear that?
Not loud enough.
Okay, forget it.
All right, Mike, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye,
Carolyn,
Mike.
Who's,
goodbye, Abe.
Goodbye, Carolyn. Goodbye, Abe.
Carolyn.
Great show.
Carolyn, it's always great having you on the show because when you come on the show, you make me and Mike look intelligent.
Maybe I'll have some news from the court cases, which I hope I get to see
okay.
tomorrow.
All right.
If they
okay.
do it early enough. So if anything exciting, I'll tell you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, come back anytime and, you know, do the show with us. Okay.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
All right. So
goodbye,
everyone.
Thank you for listening.